Well, thank you so much, Josh Friday, for being with me today on the Wave Capital's guest speaker series on relationship building in a team environment. You're my 91st guest. How are you today, Josh?
I'm fantastic, and I'm excited to be number 91. Honored.
Yes, it's an honor to be with you today, and you are the GoServe Director and California Chief Service Officer in Governor Gavin Newsom's administration in California. You and Governor Newsom have launched an amazing program, life-changing for 10,000 young men to become tutors, mentors, and coaches, partnering with schools across California to also help solve the mental health crisis, not only in the state of California, but across the country. The California Men's Service Challenge through California Volunteers in the Office of Service and Community Engagement. So would love to talk to you all about that. And because this podcast is about relationship building in a team environment, I always say that relationship building is the essence of humanity. Before we scheduled this call, and when I was communicating with your colleagues, they felt that our podcast was aligned with what you and Governor Newsom are doing. So I really, really appreciate the synergies there. Josh, when you think of relationship building in a team environment, what does it mean for you and what has it meant for your professional career?
Yeah, well, I think you sort of summed it up absolutely perfectly, which is it is the essence of humanity. I think it's what we all are seeking and what brings us happiness, what brings us health mentally and physically. And so the question for us in California, and quite frankly for our country in this particular moment, at a time where we find ourselves so isolated and divided and polarized and disconnected from each other, is how do we build relationships? How do we rebuild our connection to each other? And that's really the work of GoServe, the Governor's Office of Service and Community Engagement here in California. It's why the governor created a cabinet level position for service, which is what I have right now, to try to help rebuild these bonds and relationships in our society. So for me, relationships is about, it is the essence of humanity. To me, it's about trust. It's how we trust each other. It's how we have confidence in one another. And to me, and I've worked in politics much of my life, and I happen to feel very lucky that we get to live in America, where right now we have a democracy. And really, if you think about it, relationships is the foundation of a democracy. It's this belief that we can all govern together collectively and look out for each other, which I think rests on the foundation of relationships. So it is the foundation of so much, which is why I'm so excited to have this conversation with you.
Wonderful. And I love your introduction and how relationship building really is all encompassing and doesn't matter who you are and the walk of life that you are. It matters that we help each other, especially in a time of division in this country. And I hope that we get to a better place, and especially for not only young men and young women, but just as Americans. We're all Americans, whether you're Democrat, Republican, or independent. And I've always been someone who loves community service. And as I was mentioning to you offline, I started an organization over 20 years ago with my mentor, Dr. Robert Bradshaw, who he and I created the Ambassadors of Goodwill, that is very similar to what California Volunteers is doing with the California Men's Service Challenge. And, you know, you have such a significant pedigree of public service. Just looking at your resume and preparing for this interview, I mean, you were a legal clerk in the Department of Justice. You were also a legal clerk working for former Vice President Kamala Harris when she was the San Francisco District Attorney. You were in the JAG Corps when you were commissioned in the U.S. Navy. You had been a mayor and city council member when you were held both titles for the city of Novato, California, and a bunch of other opportunities where you have really committed yourself to contributing to the betterment of society. So any one particular moment in your career where you felt was a pivotal moment, and because that California Volunteers and because of the California Men's Service Challenge, it's all about tutoring and mentoring and really advancing the life of young men during the time of need in this particular mental health crisis. But did you feel in your early days that you had specific role models and mentors that you looked to? And of all your experiences, even before joining Governor Newsom and his administration, what were those pivotal moments that you felt really changed your life?
Well, I probably the moment and probably the most informative experience of my life is one that you haven't mentioned, because it was when I was quite a young man. I had this opportunity when I was 17 years old to spend a summer working in a volunteer program called Amigos de las Americas. It was referred to back then as Peace Corps for high school students in the Dominican Republic, where I spent a summer working and volunteering and doing education work and environmental work and water work in a small village with no running water and no electricity and no doctors and no school. And it was the greatest summer of my life. And it formed, I think, and put me on my path for the rest of my life, in part because what I remember about that summer and that experience was not what I necessarily did to help others or what I contributed. What I remember is the relationships I built and the connections that I built and how deep they were. And that even though I was speaking, they're speaking a different language than my native tongue. And I was with people who very different part of the world, very different backgrounds than me. I built enormously strong connection and bonds. And I think it was because we were working together. We had a common mission. We were digging in the trenches together, and we just got to appreciate each other as human beings. And what that sort of influenced the rest of my life is I got the bug for service. And that's why I think, for the rest of my life, I started, not just working on different issues back at home, but joined the Navy and ran for city council, as you mentioned, and now had this opportunity in this role to try to give a similar type experience to the next generation of 17-year-olds who are looking for purpose and they're looking for meaning and they're looking for relationships. And if I can help, and if we can help provide that through service and through giving back, then I think we can make this world a much better place.
Yes, absolutely. And I love all that. I love the passion that you have and the vision that you have with Governor Newsom. And, talk to me about how transformative his administration has been, especially since the time that when you joined his administration. And how did you come up with this program? And, how many people in the administration were involved in addition to you and Governor Newsom? And what made you believe that, was it a magic number of 10,000? I love that it's, 10,000, because that's a significant number. I love that it is addressing the mental health crisis, especially in young men. But, talk to me about those early days of really coming up with the ideas and the brainstorming behind this program, and what led you to the launch on September 30th.
Sure. So really, I think it started, and I'll make this quick, but it started when I came back from the Navy and I started to see just how frayed our society was becoming and how polarized and how we were really being torn apart. And I started to think, what would our country look like if more people had the kind of experience that I got to have in the military and in the program I described to you before in the Dominican Republic, where you get to work with people from very different backgrounds and perspectives, and you have a common mission, you do have a common purpose, and you get to recognize your common humanity. And so when I became mayor of my hometown, I created this program where if you graduated from one of our high schools and you committed to 2 summers of service, and then with our city, and then you got into our local university, you would get a free ride to college. We called it a local GI Bill. So it's this sort of deeply American idea that if you're willing to serve your community and contribute and help out, we're going to help you pay for college and we're going to help your career. Well, that idea caught the attention of then Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom, who was running for governor at the time. And he asked me what it would look like to scale it. He was also very concerned about how polarized and divided we were becoming. And this was even back then. It's more so now as a nation. And so when he got elected, he created this cabinet position for service that I now have. And since then, that program in the city where I was mayor is now called College Corps, where we're providing literally debt-free pathways for thousands of students who serve their community, working in food banks, working in our schools, tutoring, mentoring, doing the kind of work that you've been talking about. And we've seen the success. We've seen the impact. And so we're right now not only scaling more across California, we're actually, the program is starting to spread across the country. We also created a Climate Corps program, the first in the country. We have a Youth Service Corps for non-college track youth. And so all together, what we've built over the last few years is now actually bigger than the entire Peace Corps just in the state of California. So we've seen the impact. We've seen how it transforms lives. We see how it's transforming communities. It's hopeful. And what that has led us to in seeing the impact is looking at the specific and acute problem that we now see that's really a crisis with our young men and boys, where our young men are 4 times more likely to commit suicide than young women. In California, they're more likely to be unemployed. They're less likely to go to college. And then we even see this in my service programs. For every one young man that signs up to serve, two women do. So they're volunteering less. And so what that has led to is we see young men are disconnected from each other. They're disconnected from their communities. But then there's also these really big gaps where you have organizations like Big Brothers Big Sisters that have massive waiting lists of young boys without a mentor, without a role model, without someone to love them and guide them, because young men aren't stepping up at the rate they need to. So it's why we decided to ultimately launch this California's Men's Service Challenge, to really try to engage young men, to engage people and address the loneliness crisis that we're seeing in our country, and then build relationships, back to relationships, between men who are seeking purpose and connection with young boys who are looking for role models and mentors and someone to guide them. And our hope and our belief, and we feel strongly about this, is that it's going to help everyone, and it also helps all of society when we address these issues.
You know, I love that we're talking about this and, you know, hearing you and talking about the infrastructure that you built that's sweeping the nation, you know, originating from California. When I think about California Volunteers and the California Men's Service Challenge, I definitely would have wanted to be a part of that even when I was in my late teens. I mean, going into my senior year of high school, when offline I was telling you about my mentor, Dr. Robert Bradshaw, you know, Yale graduate, Temple Law School, you know, someone who is a doer, an innovator, you know, someone who really commands the respect of so many people and made such an impact at my high school and really in my hometown of Tampa, Florida, and the entire Tampa Bay community. And when I think about the Ambassadors of Goodwill, where, you know, I was the first president of the organization, and we had a threefold process. It was teaching young elementary school children who were in at-risk communities, who lived in at-risk communities, who were, you know, going to school in Title I schools where they were underperformed, underserved, and we were teaching them reading, writing, and arithmetic and really making an impact on their academic experience. And then we were teaching about proper nutrition and having quality food to eat at school, because at home, you know, they didn't have the proper nutrition, they didn't have the adequate resources, because they were coming from either families that came from a single parent household and where parents were struggling and having 2-3 jobs just to survive. And then we were teaching them all about exercise and going out in the community and understanding, you know, why it matters to, you know, live a quality of life and be healthy and get exercise and understand nature around you and understanding how our environment works. So we create an outdoor space, a community garden for them, peaceful, relaxing, safe space, understanding how nature works. And it was so vital for them. And by starting that organization, even 2+ decades later, just having this conversation with my mentor today, and I frequently talk to him, and I told him about our interview and who I'd be interviewing. And, you know, he was just excited for me to have a conversation with someone who's so like-minded in the approach of, we have to go out and we have to build relationships in the community. We have to build that trust factor. We have to be able to, with Governor Newsom's administration and your integral vital role in the administration as a director and being involved with California Volunteers and being able to, you know, help and lead 10,000 young men as tutors, mentors, and coaches, how that's so vital for society. And it's unfortunate that as a society, we are dealing with division, that we are dealing with various crises, including the mental health crises. And, you know, when I was freshman class president in the Student Government Association my first year in college, you know, that catapulted me into that role because of the work I did with the Ambassadors of Goodwill and in being a board of director for the Charlotte, North Carolina Chamber of Commerce and wanting to give back to the community in that fashion, always holding leadership positions wherever I've been. So that's why I'm excited to talk to you, Josh, about the leadership roles that you have had, especially not only the ultimate sacrifice of serving in our U.S. military, but the fact that you could partner with Governor Newsom, who is doing, again, transformative work, potential, you know, future presidential, you know, front runner in a Democratic Party, but also he, with the remaining time that he has left as governor and your integral role, how excited are you for the future? How excited are you to see what legs this program has, and what do you hope to accomplish with the California Men's Service Challenge in its really its first full year of implementation?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, we're incredibly excited. And I think we're excited because we're sober to the challenges that we have. You've listed many of them, but we're excited because what we've seen, the immense impact that our programs have had over the last year. And I'll just share this example. I was recently with a group of our College Core fellows, and I was sitting in a circle and hearing about their experiences. And then I asked them, what advice do you have, or what would you want me to come back and tell the governor about your experience? And this one young man raised his hand, and he said, I'd want to ask the governor, how do we expand this program so everyone has a chance to do it? And I think that's what we're seeing is that when we give young people the chance to contribute in the way that you had the ability to do, the chance to give back, the chance to know that they're valued, to know that they mattered, and the chance to build relationships with people they might not otherwise have, either people they're serving with or people they're helping, it's life-changing. And it makes you think about yourself differently, and it makes you understand your place in this world differently, and it grounds you. And so I think those who are experiencing it or have experienced it, much like you and I have, Garrett, that you want everyone to have that experience. Right. It's like that, you know, so that our members are like, how do we get more people to do this? We need to expand these programs. And that's how I feel. That's why I wake up every day thinking about how do we give this opportunity to more people? So we feel very hopeful. Again, we're sober about the challenges ahead, but we do feel like when we have challenges, whether it's a youth mental health crisis or whether it's the fires, which our communities were ravaged by at the beginning of the year in Los Angeles, where on the first night of the fires, I was down there with our service members and the Red Cross setting up the place, the shelter, where literally over 1,000 families were on the first night who had just lost everything. When we invest in service, we can tackle any of these challenges. And so for me, when I think about all the crises we have in front of us, we have a political crisis, we have a crisis of connection, we have a climate crisis, we have an insurance crisis, an affordability crisis. I have enormous hope that if we keep investing in service and building off the models that we had in California, that we are going to be able to solve all these problems and people are going to be a lot happier as a result of it.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, I've always been very bullish on California. Not only is California the fourth largest economy in the world, and the fact that it's the most populated state, it's the most diverse state. And I've been to California 25, 30 times in my life. I was just there last week. My wife and I were celebrating our fifth wedding anniversary, and we were in Los Angeles for my cousin's wedding in Glendale, California. Spent time in Orange County. We spent time in Catalina Island. It's our fourth trip to California, really, in the last 4 years. And prior to me meeting my wife back in 2018, in my previous role, I worked in a family investment bank consultancy firm. So I represented clients all throughout California from, you know, Orange County all the way up to San Francisco, Bay Area, Silicon Valley. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that California has always been at the forefront of, you know, innovation and science and exploration and, you know, award-winning professionals in various genres of life. And, you know, just the fact that, you know, Governor Newsom is potentially looking to run for president in the future, that, you know, it's no better than he originated from the state of California, where a lot of what happens in California, the rest of the country benefits. And that could be from, you know, agricultural perspective, economic perspective, you know, what we're doing in research and development with our, you know, scientists and various laboratories trying to solve various diseases, what happens in Hollywood, what happens in, you know, Silicon Valley. And, you know, even the work that you do and throughout your career, I mean, you are just like Governor Newsom, you've accomplished so much in your life. And it's people like you, Josh, that makes a difference. Another person who makes a difference in Governor Newsom's administration, and no better person for Governor Newsom to choose than you, because of you being so battle tested in so many different parts of your life and having held so many different leadership positions, from mayor to serving in the military to being in grassroots organizations that, again, similar to what I've with the Ambassadors of Goodwill, being a part of, you know, people's lives. I love how you say that people's lives matter. They're valued. And, you know, what we can do on earth in our time that we live in the greatest country in the world, we have to give back to our youth. You know, this current administration, just like President Trump's first administration, has definitely failed in terms of, you know, with the litmus test of you know, not holding up to democratic values, not holding up to what our U.S. Constitution or what our democracy stands for. And I think that, again, the future leaders of tomorrow, you know, needs an organization like California Volunteers and having a program like the California Men's Service Challenge to help the next generation of leaders.
Amen. Well, I think what this just solidifies for me is we need more Florida natives to come spend time in California and see how great it is. We're very proud of our state, and we hope you keep up your tradition of coming here at least once a year. And congratulations on your 5th year wedding anniversary. That's a big deal. But we are very proud of how we lead here in California. The governor often talks about California as being the coming attraction for the country on so many issues. And building relationships, building connection, building community, figuring out how do we get people to serve and help each other again and want to support each other is another area that we're very proud on how we're leading. And our hope is, we desperately hope, that we're creating models that can spread across the country. We're starting to see it. Our climate course spread to 12 other states. As I mentioned earlier, our college course spread. So we're seeing these models. But the point, the truth is that we're at an inflection point in our country right now. And I think we have a decision to make as a society, all of us, about what kind of world do we want to live in? What kind of country do we want to be? Do we want to be a country and a nation that's defined by isolation and loneliness and division? Or do we want to be a society that's defined by connection and compassion and community? And that's a choice. And here in California, and the reason we have built our programs, the reason we launched the California Men's Service Challenge is because we want to give people the choice to do what we think is the right thing and to build a society that is more compassionate, that is more connected, where people actually feel like they're part of a community and they're not alone in this world, which I think drives so much of the mental health issues that we're seeing, so much of the political division and anxiety that we're seeing. And so we're just starting out. We feel like we're just reaching the tip of the iceberg, but we're seeing the impact already, and it's important. It matters. And so we're glad. I love how much interest you have, and we like learning about the models, the ambassador model that you have experienced, because we're always trying to take good ideas, but we have got to solve these challenges, and we think that we're off to the right track here in California.
Well, that's wonderful to hear, and I look forward to, and thank you so much for your kind words. I look forward to speaking with your colleagues, David and Luis, about the California Men's Service Challenge and California Volunteers, because I'm looking forward to collaborating with you all and partnering with you all, and whatever the specific needs that you have, I'm very excited to explore that with you and your colleagues and Governor Newsom, because, you know, I'm really passionate about this space. I have been since the age of 18. I'm 37. So, you know, we're talking about almost 20 years of being passionate about this space, and it's a calling for me. And, you know, I would love to also get you in touch with my mentor, Dr. Robert Bradshaw. You know, I met him at 63. He's going to be turning 85 next week. Such a positive influence on my life. But, you know, he would be somebody along with me where we'd be more than happy to tell you what worked with the Ambassadors of Goodwill, why it's a model that can be duplicated across the country, and that because it's very similar and overlaps and, you know, in certain ways, shapes and forms with the California Men's Service Challenge and California Volunteers, that you are feel free to get any advice from us or even Dr. Bradshaw, because I'm so fortunate to be having this conversation with you. And it's unfortunate that men have been the target of a decline in terms of mental health, and the fact that they feel that they have lost a place in society. And you mentioned loneliness, but I also think that because women are really have taken such a tremendous lead in leadership positions. And that's all wonderful, because I believe that whether you're a woman, whether you're a man, whomever you are and whatever your interests are and whatever you aspire to, we can't have any Americans behind. And I pray and hope that just like women in this country, that men also can get back into the fold and get back into those leadership positions. And I do believe that women have an integral role too, to help men as well get back to that place. So, two-part question, where do you feel that men start to fall short in the loneliness factor or the fact that they have lost their way, and how can women help them as well?
Yeah, it's a great question. And one of the things that we're always very clear about is that this is not a zero-sum issue, that our goal is for everyone to thrive and live a meaningful life. And so we absolutely need to continue to support and encourage our girls and our young women to be leaders and to be involved and to be successful and to go to college and all the things that we want them to do. And we need to recognize that there is an acute crisis with young men right now. And so what we're trying to attempt is to address that with in part through this Young Men's Service Challenge. And I think that you asked the question about why or how do we get there. The things that sort of, and I'm a father of three boys, so I think about this all the time and I see it. And from what I've read from the research and what I think is happening is boys do a lot better in structured environments. And so if you think about like the Boy Scouts or the military, there's, structured environments where there's a, you know where your place is, you know what your role is, it's clear, it's defined, you're given the opportunity in a formal setting to build bonds with other people, to build friendships, to build relationships. And that for some reason, and I'm not a psychologist or anthropologist, so I don't know why, but for some reason, men do better in that sort of environment from the research. And so when we have a society right now, if you think about like Bowling Alone, the book about how people just don't join organizations anymore, they don't join, fewer people go to church or part of a religious community. Fewer people are in the Boy Scouts. Less than 1% of us served in the military after 9/11. So there's only an all-volunteer force right now. There's no draft. There's fewer and fewer opportunities to give people the chance to connect and to build relationships. And so when we have a society that doesn't promote that, that doesn't foster that, that doesn't give those opportunities, it becomes easy to become isolated. It becomes easy to be stuck in your room when you don't have a Boy Scout meeting to go to, playing video games or on your iPhone and isolated. So I think what we've recognized is we have found ourselves in a society that's been happening for a long time where we haven't built the civic infrastructure that's actually necessary to give people chances to build the kinds of relationships and to have the kinds of experiences you and I are talking about. And so that's what our attempt is when we're building these service programs, when we build Climate Corps, when we build College Corps, when we build Youth Service Corps, and then when we launch this Men's Service Challenge, it's trying to be very intentional about how do we actually create the opportunities for people to come together again and work together in the hopes that that then gives people that sort of, I think, that social connection that they're desperately looking for or missing.
And how have you and Governor Newsom devised a plan? How will you select the 10,000 individuals? Will it be through application, through in-person interview, or what is the criteria? What are the elements of how to identify all 10,000? And perhaps in the future, will you raise that number? But did you say 10,000 because you feel like that is a good representation as you start this program and going into the first full year of implementation in 2026?
So part of this initiative is we've created really opportunities for everyone. So we have paid opportunities that you can apply for that where you sign up for maybe a summer, or you sign up for a whole year and you can actually get paid. And we can also get a scholarship towards school or to pay down debt if you serve in your community. So that's one end of the spectrum. Then we have volunteer positions where you could sign up with Big Brothers, Big Sisters today and become a big brother. And you maybe volunteer for a few hours a week or a few hours a month, and you can fulfill one of the positions for the service challenge. So it's really, there's a whole spectrum of opportunity, which is we wanted to create a chance for everyone, no matter where in life you are, to be able to participate. And the 10,000 number actually really came from our partners. We surveyed the major groups around California, groups like Mentor California, groups like Improve Your Tomorrow, which does specifically tutoring and mentoring for young men of color in some of our low-income schools, and then groups like Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and the YMCA. And we surveyed all these groups, and we said, what is the actual need? And in partnership and collaboration with them all, we sort of all collectively said, you know what, we need about 10,000 young men to step up and men to step up to serve, to meet the needs of today. And so that's how we came up with the number. That's the challenge. It's ambitious, but we feel confident that we have to get there, and we will get there. And again, the sort of the win-win of service of what we're trying to do and of relationship building is that if you sign up to be a big brother or you sign up to be a mentor, you are not only going to help somebody that needs it, you know, you're going to be a guide, you're going to be a role model in the same way your mentor was for you, and you're going to help that person's life, but you're also going to help your own life. You're going to find a deeper sense of happiness, a deeper sense of connection, a deeper sense of purpose in your community and on this planet. And so it's truly a win-win, which is why we think we're solving a lot of problems at once by hitting our goal of 10,000 young men in service.
Yeah, that's truly exceptional. And, you know, when I think of my previous role at Wave Capital Partners, when I was managing partner and chief development officer for over 8 years, and before my father retired, he and I represented clients all throughout the country, including in the state of California. And we represented clients in Silicon Valley. We represented clients in real estate in California, you know, people who were in the, you know, the sciences, the arts, the sports and entertainment. And, you know, what we found is that with our representation of these clients and helping them facilitate capital to, you know, grow their businesses and create jobs and, you know, expand market territories with industry and, you know, it came with a lot of innovation from our clients. And I would also facilitate not only, you know, debt and equity, but I would facilitate as a business development officer, significant partners who could really complement or enhance what my clients are doing. And when I think of California Men's Service Challenge and when I think of California volunteers, you know, I think about how I could contribute as well individually from my personal standpoint of helping you all is, you know, partnering or bringing partnerships to you all, potential partnerships who, you know, have access to capital, who can teach these young men, you know, what's it like to, you know, work in an organization, run a boardroom, represent a client, what's it like understanding how a business operates and why capital allows a business to thrive and why capital is needed to create jobs and to improve the lives of people in various towns across the state of California. And you learn about, you know, how to have a strong work ethic, you know, how it teaches you about discipline and organization and team building and, you know, relationship building essentially, but what's it like to be a leader? And, you know, in my time at Wave Capital, it allowed me to understand, you know, what made my clients successful. And it wasn't just all about them as individuals. They always talked about the team. If you don't have a strong team, if you don't have a team of leaders, then the project that you need capital for or the business that you're running won't be as successful. You need people who can work together copacetically and to be able to have one vision, one goal, and not be deterred in any way to accomplishing your goals and be able to take all of the insight and all the opinions from your various personnel who are part of your team and to be able to have open, transparent discussions about, okay, this is what we did this quarter. How can we improve for the next quarter? How can we improve for the next 3 or 4 or 5 quarters? So with my business mind, I believe that that's what these young men need too, Josh. They need to understand, what is it like to run a successful business or be a part of a successful business?
Yeah.
And in terms of, you know, in politics, in state politics, like you and Governor Newsom are involved in the state politics environment in California, you know, it doesn't matter whether you run a business. It doesn't matter whether you are in politics. It doesn't matter whether you're a doctor, lawyer, or whomever. It's all about, you know, what you are doing to improve the lives of others. And the only way you can improve the lives of others is that you have to make sure you have the right infrastructure. And you mentioned infrastructure. If you have the right infrastructure and you have the right team around you and you have people who are, you know, from day one, grass doesn't grow under their feet and they're ready to go. And you have committed, loyal and people who are really wanting to be selfless and that's who they are. That's what it takes to have a successful group. And I really am a firm believer in what you're doing.
Ah, well, thank you. I appreciate that. And you're 100% right. There's the number one determination of success, I think, is teamwork. And I hammer that with my team all the time, which is I truly believe we succeed or we fail as a team. And so we have to work as a team. To me, it's the most important thing. It's part of what gets instilled in you in the military. You know, you literally, you live or die by your unit. And so you have to work as a team, I think, to accomplish a mission. And you know, I think one of the challenges in our society right now is we don't give young people enough opportunities to see what it's like to be in a team and work in a team and have the challenges of creating a successful team. And so, you know, as we see a decline in youth sports, as we see, again, young people not having the chance to serve in these different environments, as we see people more and more isolated on their phone or in video games or alone, you never get that chance to both understand what it is to be part of a great team, and also how fun it is and how great it feels when you do get to be part of a great team that accomplishes something together. That's an incredible feeling. And, you know, it's like, it's what makes life worthwhile. I remember, I think it was the book Sapiens that talked about how our competitive advantage as a species, literally why human beings have a competitive advantage as a species, is collaboration. It's because we coordinate with each other. It's a, you know, we've formed villages, and we formed hunting parties and gathering parties, and we took care of each other. And that's our competitive advantage, is that we learned how to work as a team, as a species. And I just feel like now what we're seeing is like that sort of, we're almost like ripping that advantage, you know, away from ourselves. We're like taking away our competitive advantage by sort of building in this very disconnected world that we now live in, and polarized world. And so the question is like, how do we get that back? How do we create more opportunities for people to understand exactly what you're describing about what it means to be part of a team?
Yes, absolutely. And how hopeful are you that we can get back to that place?
I'm very hopeful. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing this work. but it's hard as hell. It really is. It's very difficult and it's challenging. And I'm hopeful because I do think it's innate in us. I think people want this. I think they're desperate for this. I'll just give you this example. Our climate accord this last year, we have 3,500 positions. And for those 3,500 positions, we had over 12,000 applications from young people who wanted to be part of it. And there's a thirst out there. There's a hunger from young people who want to be part of something that's bigger than themselves. They want to be on a team. They want to feel like they belong to something. And that's on us. That's on you and me. And that's on your listeners and other business leaders and other civic leaders. That's on us to give them that opportunity.
Yes, absolutely. And talk to me about your relationship with Governor Newsom, what it has been like working with him for over 6 years. So congratulations on your 6th anniversary working in Governor Newsom's administration. But, you know, talking about your relationship working with him, you know, what type of conversations do you have with him on a daily basis or a weekly basis about just things that matter to you and Governor Newsom and the entire Newsom administration in the state of California? I've, you know, done a lot of research over the years, and I've studied California because I'm tremendously interested in your economy. I'm tremendously interested in what California does, the output that it does in all various sectors of why California is 14% of the GDP of the entire United States. And so it's unbelievable how important California is, and just wanted to talk to you about what issues matter to you and Governor Newsom and what type of conversations you have with him.
I feel like every day I wake up and I feel like I just have like the best job in the whole world, where I get to focus on these issues that we've been talking about and think about how do we create a more compassionate world. And I get to do it working for, I think, one of the most talented leaders in our country and maybe in the last couple of generations. He's a generational talent. He's obviously unbelievably smart. He's got an incredible vision. He knows how to execute. He knows how to operate. He knows how to lead. But I, you know, I think what a lot of people don't always see, and you don't get to see on TV, you don't get to see on social media, is how incredibly empathetic he is. Just emotionally, he is very connected to people's needs, people's wants, people's desires, people's hopes, and people's dreams, and he wants to take care of it all. And so, you know, he's very aware of there's criticisms that he takes on too many issues. And his answer to that is what he said to me is like, how do I not take them all on? Like, how do I not take on healthcare for people who don't have it, and try to build a whole new grade for 4-year-olds, which he did with the brand new TK class. And how do I not create service opportunities by building something bigger than the Peace Corps? And how do I not take on climate change? And, you know, to make sure that California has the cleanest economy, not just the fourth biggest economy, but the cleanest economy, and continue to dominate with clean energy. You know, how do I not make sure that our immigrant populations are cared for? So, you know, the point is like, we have a lot of challenges. And so I feel very lucky that I get to work with somebody and for somebody who cares so as deeply as he does about tackling them. And also we're very sober about what those challenges are. And, you know, I think we're all living through an affordability crisis where it's just the price of housing in California is way too expensive. Energy prices are way too expensive. And so we're very focused on that right now. It's something he thinks a lot about, and thinking about how do we reform regulation that have and cut the red tape that has made it very difficult to build. So we're very focused on those kinds of issues. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, the question is like, how do we help people live more meaningful and purposeful lives? That's the question. And part of that is making it so they can afford a place to live, and they have a great place to send their kids to school. And then part of that is creating purpose and meaning, which is why we've done things like the California Men's Service Challenge to try to give people that sense that they really do matter and they're valued. And so we need to, you know, we need to do all of that, because that's all of those things go into what it means to be human.
Absolutely. And you talk about being a father of three, and I'm, you know, I have my wife and I, we have our, you know, soon to be 3-year-old son, Peter, and then we have another child on the way. The due date is March 21st, we're going to be welcoming our daughter in 2026, God willing. Wow. And,
congratulations.
You know, thank you. I really appreciate that. And, you know, just like you, you think about the future generations and what world we're going to leave our kids and what world our kids will leave our grandkids. So it's almost as if, you know, what we do today will shape the way the world is 50 to 100 years from now. So as a father and as a husband and as a leader, what do you hope for the future? And I know that it may sound rhetorical in the sense of, well, everybody hopes for a better world, you know, no matter what side of the political aisle that you're on. But in terms of, you know, what you're so prideful of, and you speak all about the positives of what California has to offer, as well as the challenges that California faces, no different than the challenges across the country. But knowing that you are in such a rare position in California, or one of the few in a rare position where what you do today can at the state level and even when you were mayor at the local level, and you are in a position where the decisions you make today, as well as the decisions that the governor makes, you know, will make a difference for Californians and, you know, who are our fellow Americans as well. So, you know, how prideful are you of that? And how introspective, if you will, but looking, you know, looking forward to the future, what do you hope that when what you do today can help shape the future leaders, starting with your kids?
Yeah, I think about this every single day. So it's a great question. For me, I think what the mission is that I have in life, and I think the mission of this position and the roles that the governor and I have right now, is really about how to create a more compassionate and connected world where people want to take care of each other again and want to support each other and help each other, so that everyone does have their needs met, so that everyone does have a chance at living the California dream or the American dream. How do we create that world? And I, you know, sometimes when I describe that, I think it can, maybe it sounds, you know, a little like a soft vision or some, you know, something out of Berkeley, California. But the truth is, I'm describing the kind of experience and the kind of culture I lived in when I was in the military. It's a culture where you protect each other, where you defend each other, where you take care of each other, where everyone feels like they're part of a unit and they have a role to play. And that's the kind of society that I think we're trying to create. And if we do, I think we're going to create a much happier society. I think we're going to create a less anxious society, a healthier society, and a more equal society. And because I think at the end of the day, as human beings, and this is, I'm taking this concept from the Dalai Lama, who said, at the end of the day, we just all want to feel valued. That's what it means to be human. And so if we can create a society where people feel valued, be either because they're serving and they're mentoring, or because they're able to afford and to buy a home and take care of their family and contribute to their community, then I think we've succeeded. And I think this is a better world for everybody.
Absolutely. And you mentioned Berkeley, and that's where you went undergraduate and received your law degree. How much of the law shaped you when you got your degree, and then even being a clerk for then future Vice President Harris in the San Francisco District Attorney's Office? But, you know, you start out in law and it really dovetailed into the military and then being a public servant. So you've definitely lived a full and complete and fulfilling life. And I'm excited for you and all the things that you'll be accomplishing, you know, with the California Men's Service Challenge and all your future aspirations. But, you know, how much did your early formative years at Cal Berkeley shape you for who you are today?
Yeah, in a huge way. I had this sort of really amazing life moment or life experience this last year where I got to give a commencement speech at Cal Berkeley on the same stage where I had graduated 22 years ago. And what I talked about is how I'll answer your question, which is Cal gave me everything. That university gave me everything. It's where I met my wife. It's where I sort of honed my passion for politics and for issues and government. And so I hit the lottery and I feel very, very lucky and grateful. It's partly why I'm so passionate about making sure that we continue to keep higher education accessible for everyone and that it continues to be a place where people can find opportunity and to make keep that part of life as the California dream, as part of the California dream. So I love the university. I'll be the first to describe it as the best university, public university in the country, if not the world, if I'm allowed to say that, if I'm allowed to boast about that. But it was a unique place, and I'm very lucky to have it. And I hope that I continue to carry the values of public service that were instilled in me there as well through with me for the rest of my life.
Yes, absolutely. And what I love about how timely this conversation is too, that I'm a graduate of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and our football team is going to be playing your football team this weekend. So how excited are you for that matchup?
Well, I don't think when I said that Berkeley was a top public university, I very intentionally did not mention the football team. I'm not going to wage any money on this one. You guys might have the upper hand.
Well, I will say that I'm prideful of being a University of North Carolina graduate, just like you are a Cal Berkeley graduate. And we're fortunate that, you know, our two schools are two of the top five public universities in the country every year. And we always are in the same conversation with University of Michigan, UCLA, and University of Virginia. So I'm honored to talk to a fellow graduate of always being in the top five in the country, you know, public Ivy League caliber, as they always say, that we're one, our two schools are always the original eight public Ivy League institutions that people always look to. So, you know, I'm honored to talk to a fellow public Ivy Leaguer. How about that?
There you go. We're in this together. I have no problem outside of this coming Saturday. I have no problem saying go Tar Heels.
Yeah, no. And I was always a big basketball fan. I mean, you know, I've definitely followed our college football program, but, you know, I grew up watching the NBA and college basketball. And, you know, I have a picture of Michael Jordan when I met him 20 years ago above my right shoulder, fellow Tar Heel. But no, I love Cal Berkeley. Like, I'm sure you're so prideful of it.
Yes. And we're both very lucky.
Yes. Final thoughts about relationship building before we depart from our interview.
Yeah, my final thoughts are, I share this with every young person I have the chance to mentor, or group of young people I have a chance to talk to, which is relationships are everything. It's how the world works. And for some people, that can be intimidating because, you think maybe you weren't born into a family that doesn't have ties, that doesn't have a lot of connections or money or resources. And for me, I think it's a liberating concept that you can build relationships with anyone. My parents didn't work in business. They didn't work in politics. And I sort of learned in college, actually, this idea that it's not who you know, it's who you get to know. And so the reality that in this country, you can almost get to know anybody if you make the effort and try to build a relationship. And then once you have the relationship, whether it's your colleague at work or someone you go to school with or someone you're mentoring, the most important thing you can do is continue to nurture those relationships and foster those relationships. And that's where I encourage anyone who's trying to think about how to build their career and follow their dreams is to invest time in relationships. It's the single most important investment you can ever make.
Well, thank you so much, Josh Friday, for being with me today on the Wave Capital's guest speaker series on relationship building in a team environment. My 91st guest, the Chief Service Officer and GoServe Director in Governor Newsom's administration. I look forward to collaborating with you and your team and exploring opportunities with David and Luis next week when I have my conversation with them, and would love to connect you with Dr. Robert Bradshaw. We could talk to you more about the Ambassador of Goodwill, but I just want to thank you so much for your time today.
Well, thank you. This was really fun. And we'll have to talk after the football game on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love that. But, you know, honestly, it's all about, again, relationship building and in a team environment. And that's what I love about my podcast. And that's what I love about interviewing people like yourself, because, you know, we're all in this together. And I really pray for our country. And I, even as a native Floridian, I'm so fortunate to be able to visit California so many times, because I love the things that California is doing that I wish Florida was doing. So hopefully they adopt things in Florida that California is certainly getting right.
Now that is something I will pass on to the governor. Thank you so much. This is great.
Thank you so much, Josh. You take care.